Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
Hi there, I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
Hi there, I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
Oh, look, it's the Perky Twins. I'm Mike Lupica of the New York Daily News at MLB.com. Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Sports Reporters. And what we have discovered over our years together, starting on Sunday mornings on television, is there really are no slow weeks in sports. So even though this feels like one, there is a lot to talk about. And guys, I want to start with the NBA today. I looked it up. Zion has only played 17 games as a professional basketball player. 24 points, 7 rebounds. He has been, again, as we have discussed, like a breath of fresh air. And last night, there he was against the Dallas Mavericks and Luka and Kristaps in an overtime game. And you, Bob, you don't have to look very far down the line because of the talents of these three young men to see a budding rivalry. And I'm just hoping, even though there's still 10 games under 500, there is a way for the Pelicans to get hot, because I would love to have Z in the playoffs, even if it's only for like 10 days.
Let me say, and speaking on behalf of neutrals everywhere, I couldn't agree more that suddenly we're all Pelicans. We want them to do it. No offense to the Grizz or anyone else, but damn it, we want this kid in the playoffs, especially in the first round against the Lakers. But regardless, if they were playing the Philadelphia Spies, it doesn't matter. We want him. Yes, I think you're saying something very important here, and this is great. Infusion of bright, exciting talent is a great thing for any league, and these kids represent that for the NBA.
Well, even if he doesn't get to the playoffs, the NBA has gotten a great wish granted here, because let's face it, the league is marketed on this star guy versus that star guy. That's how it's promoted in the commercials. That's how even the Chirons that come across the screen, they always have one star player versus the other star player, even though the game is Lakers-Celtics, you know. And so anytime you had LeBron against such and such, it made for a big deal. Well, now you've got Zion basically against everybody. So any team that he goes to, they pit him against, especially if it's young guys like Luka. You know, it's those two. And now you have a game between two teams that nobody is kidding themselves are going to be in the NBA Finals. But it's interesting, and everybody's watching it, and everybody wants to see it. And that's how the NBA has marketed itself. And look, they didn't play against each other much of the night, and Williamson had 5 shots blocked by somebody else, not Luka. But still, that's the way it's pitched, and that's the way you build the interest. So even if they don't get the postseason out, they've already reaped enormous benefits from these 17 games, Mike. Almost every game that he's in now, they'll find the opposing team superstar, especially if it's a young one, and say, you know, let's look at the future. Here's your future. Here's your glimpse at the future. It may not be the NBA Finals now, but it might be one day. Watch it now.
You know, Mitch, you're right. My late dear friend and mentor, Bob Newman too, Bill Goldman, whenever a movie would come out and become a big hit, Mitch, I'd say, Bill, you know, and like sometimes out of nowhere, I'd say, Bill, why was that movie a hit? And he'd say, people wanted to see it. And when a movie would come out and Stiff, I'd say, Bill, why that movie Stiff? He goes, people didn't want to see it. And so people, isn't that, I mean, it's just, he was the best. Okay. But what I'm saying is, now we've got a guy other than LeBron, and you know, Steph's just coming back. Other than LeBron, we've got appointment TV now. If this kid's playing, I'm not saying I'm going to watch the whole game, but I'm good. If I'm home and I'm not doing anything, I'm going to watch some of the game. And again, what? Look at this night. He did not have his best game last night, but he was still the attraction. And Luka goes for 30. And a guy who's just now getting hit, Mitch, another great decision by the Knicks. We're talking a little bit about the Knicks before we finish our NBA. Kristaps Porzingis, he is finding his legs finally, and they are going to be such a formidable duo going away. And again, this is the next gen thing that is happening. And Mitch and Bob, I'll tell you this. I keep looking at the standings, The Mavericks are in the seventh spot. They are probably going to stay in the seventh spot, which means they are probably going to play the Clips in the first round. And do I think that they are ready to win that series? No, but I'll tell you what, that's another appointment TV thing, because I sure as well will watch Luka and Porzingis against, you know, Paul George and Kawhi.
The kid, it's interesting. The biggest question is a long way from being answered about Zion. That is the body. And
Alvin Gentry was talking about that after the game last night, that people worry too much.
We had a reason. Okay, he's there every day, front and center. He's watched this kid, and I totally respect Alvin Gentry, so fine. I'm just saying that was our question, because it is an unusual body type for success in the National Basketball Association. And there was a lot of concern. He came in with an injury history, and was some of it as a result of the body type. And there were concerns right away that he needed to lose some weight. Maybe. I'm saying maybe. We don't know. So the long range question is unanswered. And you know, we come back in a year. We'll see how we're doing.
Before Mitch weighs in, here's the quote, Mitch, from Alvin last night. I think he's fine. We worry about him too freaking much, okay? He's fine. He's 19 years old. He'll be fine.
Well, that was, well, key, was that not in sentence, reference to the back-to-back?
The key sentence in there, the key sentence is, yeah, there is he's 19 years old. No, the key sentence in there is he's 19 years old. We have seen this in college. How many times have you seen football linemen in college who look like they're carrying two refrigerators in their body, and they're running up and down the field and jumping about, and it's not, that same guy at 30 isn't doing that in that same body type. But at 19, they can. 19, you can carry weight that doesn't make sense. But it is, and so Alvin Gentry, who I know from his time here in the Pistons, great guy, and a straightforward, straight shooter. And he's saying exactly what he should be saying as the coach, and what he should be saying right now. The question that Bob is bringing up is 5 years from now and 7 years from now, a 6'7" body with that weight has not traditionally, this is no knock on Zion Williamson, this is a statement of history, has not traditionally done the kinds of things that he's done. Now, you know, you could have said the same thing for LeBron James's body and the way that it's holding up in the mid-30s. So he is there to prove us wrong, and they'll be making witness commercials for him pretty soon, you know, when he gets into his 20s, about look at my body and I'm still doing all these things, if he continues to do it. But it's not an unfair thing to just ponder. It is unfair to make it a criticism, because he's done nothing but prove right now that it's not an issue at all, and I don't think it's going to be at age 20 or 21 either.
Bob, who is he like? You know, it's you know, again, to go back to Hollywood, you know, when people are pitching movies, it's like this with a touch of this and then a little Casablanca, okay? Obviously, because of the body type, it's Barkley, okay?
Barkley on steroids.
Charlie Barkley was like, what, six, really, truly, honest to God, 6'4", okay?
Right, 6'4"
and one of the great natural rebounders of all time. I'm not sure he'll ever be a Barkley-like rebounder, but for now, just because of the body type, Bobby, that's the only logical comparison I can make.
No, I totally agree. I mean, we've seen other big, you know, I mean, Oliver, what's his name, you know, comes
Miller.
Into mind. Yeah, right away. He comes into mind. He ate himself out of the league. Lonnie Shelton. Let's go back. You remember.
Yeah, pretty gifted. Lonnie
Shelton might be our answer here. But Lonnie Shelton ate himself out of the league. You know, this is.
He couldn't shoot, though, Bob. He couldn't. This kid can shoot from the outside.
Yeah.
He can. And guess what? I think he's going to be even better three-point shooter next year and the year after that than he is now.
More Sure. Okay. So I just threw out, there's two aspects of this. I didn't get to part B. I went to part B without getting to part A. Can he accomplish the same kind of stuff he's doing in the NBA that he did in college against these more experienced and you know, and the whole, everything that makes the professionals different than the amateurs in any sport. And the NBA is an example. And the answer is, so far, he is playing his game. They must react to him, not the other way around. That's what I wondered.
Bob, you can't let him catch it in the low blocks, because that spin move that becomes a shattering dunk, nobody has been able to stop that, really.
No, they have not, and it's as if he was back playing against Wake Forest. You know, no, really, there's no difference in our eyes.
I think he redefines the position. And, you know, at this
I don't
point,
even know what his position is, Mitch.
Well, right.
Exactly.
He redefines the mold. And at this point, no one would say, well, who does LeBron James remind you of? LeBron James is him, and you're looking for the next one. I think this kid has that same kind of potential. He will redefine what you expect and who he is if he continues on this path. And let's face it, he's got 1 year of college and 17 games in the pros. It's not a whole lot of body of work to go on. But if the trajectory continues, I don't think in a couple of years we'll be talking about he reminds me of this guy or that guy. We'll be saying he's an original.
The simple fact is that he is too strong for the threes that guard him and too quick for the fours that guard him. This is what it's coming to life. This is what you've projected, and we're seeing it so far through 27 games. This is a reality. That's exactly so. He's uncategorizable. He's a 3.5. He's a 4.5. He's as you just said. He is the first Zion.
Now, here's a question I'd like to throw out of a guy who's on the opposite end of this, is quite established, got a lot of rings on his fingers, and tonight is scheduled to come back to the game of basketball, and that is Steph Curry, with 20 games left to go for the last place Golden State Warriors. There has been no question in his mind or Steve Kerr, his coach's mind, that he was going to come back and that he should come back. And all those people who are saying, well, just tank and increase your chances for the top lottery pick are being sloughed off with all the right things, by the way. I did a parting shot on this a few episodes ago. Absolutely, Steve Kerr is right when he says, what are we saying to the fans in Golden State if he's healthy enough to play, but we're just going to sit him? We don't care about you this year. We don't care about the money you spent. We don't care about the other guys on the team. We're not interested in winning. We're just trying to tank for a draft choice. Good for him. Good for Steph Curry coming back. Having said all that, do you agree with putting him in at this point in the season, given that this is a very serious injury that he had to his hand? He has admitted that he still has some residual nerve issues, which are critical if you know the body and the way it's made up. Nerves in your hands and your fingers and your wrist are critical to the feel that you have. And, you know, everything in basketball is a feel, and the feel of your shot and the feel of your fingers off the ball, that's a big deal. Do you agree with him coming back at this point?
100%. At some point, and maybe this is that point, we see a player and a team and an organization actually acting as if the fans matter here. I don't think that there is any chance that this young man would be back on the court if they thought that there was a chance that, you know, I mean, if in a week, you guys might laugh at me, lasting or serious damage to him. Okay. And yes, is it the sound business thing for him to stay out and continue to lose games? Yes, it is. But Bob and Mitch, remember something about the Warriors. And even though we know the Warriors are going to regroup and that Klay is coming back, okay, and that next year they will have a top draft choice added to Draymond, added to Steph, added to Klay Thompson, all that stuff, okay, they also moved into what is described as the most beautiful new arena in the history of the National Basketball Association. And even though it's 20 games left, those people who thought they were going to get one thing when they started buying tickets to the Chase Center got something quite different. And you know what? Now they actually have something to watch from now until the end of the season. I'm completely on board with this.
Also, he has talked about this potential new normal, quote unquote, with this left hand situation and the nerve thing. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess. My medical degree is pending, but I'm going to take a wild guess that you're not going to hurt yourself if this is a nerve thing. You're going to have to learn to deal with it, or it's either going to heal itself naturally or it's not, and you're not going to harm it by playing. And we do know that his famous handle is a very important part of his game. Separation he can get on that jump shot is what makes him the greatest shooter of all time, as opposed to the other more catch and shoot guys, including the guy he plays next to. But I'm saying, I don't think he's going to, what better opportunity to learn how to cope with your quote new normal, if this is in fact in your new normal, than having a 20 game rehearsal here. So on top of what Mike said, and I agree with everything Mike said, that there's another reason for him. And if anybody's going to say, what about the injury thing? Kerr said, look, you know, you can get hurt in scrimmage. You can get hurt crossing the street. Look, I'm not going to worry about the injury thing. That is not in Kerr's mind, and it shouldn't be.
There's another element to this. It's a little more minor than some of those, but I think it counts. They have a new cast out there. They got a lot of new guys that he's has not played with. And I think Kerr wants to see, okay, how would they mesh before going into next season? So you know what moves to make over the summer. If he finds some real chemistry with some of the guys that they've picked up, Wiggins and some of these other guys, say, okay, good, we're going to build on that. If he finds that, you know what, now that we see him out on the floor together, that's not a complimentary game, and we're seeing somebody else's game go down as a result of Curry being back, that helps them and informs them as to the moves they want to make in the offseason. So 20 games is like the perfect litmus test. And by the way, there are 5 games behind the next closest team out west, and I think 3 games behind the Cleveland Cavaliers for worst record, or 3 games ahead. So, you know, they could still end up with the worst record or the next to the worst record. And as we know in the NBA, it's a lottery system anyhow. It doesn't guarantee you. It's not the NFL. If we're in the NFL, honestly, if in the NFL and this is the number one pick and it's Joe Burrow or Tua or Chase Young versus number 4, I might be singing a different song. But you don't even know if you get the third worst record if you end up with the top pick anyhow.
And by the way,
100% correct.
Bob and Mitch, here's the thing about the Warriors, okay? And again, this is like one of those gap years the kids take when they come out of high school when they're not ready for college. They've added Wiggins, okay? He's going to be an extremely important part there, okay? Pascal from Villanova has turned out to be a terrific player. They've got pieces there. And guys, before we get off the NBA, the gift that keeps on giving in New York City, Mitch, Bob and I were talking about this, is our Knicks. And Mitch, look at the good PR they generated this week as they were introducing their new team president, former agent Leon Rose. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll get into a beef, and who the hell knows what the truth of this story is. We'll get into a beef with our biggest celebrity fan that we have left, and that is Spike Lee. And then before you know it, Charles Oakley, he's going on First Take or one of those shows describing the garden as a plantation. And I'm thinking, everybody thinks every time they make a new change in the front office, things are going to change. They're never going to change.
What bright mind decided after 20 years to change the entrance that you come in in February or March or May or March? I mean, okay, if you have a new policy, set it up over the summer. Well, it was a one night. I mean, look, Spike Lee, I don't have a lot of use for Spike Lee and his self-promotion, and nobody should be on First Take talking about this at all. But I understand if you're a long time season ticket holder with the most expensive seats, and God knows what those seats cost, and you're used to coming in one entrance and you know every single guy there and all the security guards and you got your routine, even if you change the entrances, so okay, yeah, well, we know him, he can come in here. What difference does it make where you come in? And they're sending him around the corner to going through a VIP entrance, and then he's complaining quite artificially, oh, if they scan your ticket, they won't let you in again the other side, like they don't know it's Spike Lee. All of it is way over the top.
Mitch,
you're so right, Mike. The Knicks just attract this kind of crap. I it's like you couldn't, the worst stuff that can happen sticks to them like flypaper at the worst possible times. They are cursed.
The Knicks is one man that we're talking about. One person, one odious person, Mr. Dolan, Mr. James Dolan, that's who the Knicks are. And why, and there's a he said, she said going on here, in which Knicks are claiming they had sent out a notice or they've been about this, and Spike is saying not true. And I mean, in this little he said, she said, I know where I on the jury, which person I would believe. I agree with you. I'm not always been on board with Spike's exhibitionism at the games and the whole thing. But the fact of the matter is that he brings positive attention to the Knicks in the sense of letting people know somebody cares about him. And he's put, over the years, has been a benefit to them, not a detriment. And it doesn't make any sense. Mike, did I not see a figure of $10 million, supposedly, he's invested in them over the 28
well,
years?
Well, here's what I think. I saw this somewhere that the tickets are now up. Those are up to like 4,000, okay? Those two courtside seats, which, if my math is correct, would be about $300,000 a year. And then if you take it back since the beginning of time, God knows how much he spent. And we'll leave this, guys, we'll leave this here. I read today that one of the reasons why there might have been more empty seats than usual last night at the Garden for the Knicks. Watch the transition here. I'm doing Mitch for the Knicks Jazz game might have been fears about the coronavirus. No. It's the Knicks virus, which in sports may be just as serious. Before we begin our discussion about the coronavirus, we'd like to remind you, as always, we are happily sponsored by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. Geico didn't come along just when they started doing these awesome television commercials. And anytime you need help, you speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of here. Guys, we don't know. If we don't know where we are going in just in this country, with fears about the coronavirus and what is clearly a lack of preparedness on the part of our government, we certainly don't know how it is going to affect the world of sports going forward, Mitch. And if you don't think people are taking this as seriously in sports as they are anywhere else, people are now actually worried about the Tokyo Olympics.
Well, why not? I mean, look in Italy. Italy has just announced that all sporting events over the course of the next month will take place without fans. Italy's not an island. You know, they're attached to other countries in Europe. People travel through there, and already, you know, one country in Europe that loves its sports and certainly loves its soccer is now going to have empty stadiums as it performs. The idea of the Tokyo Olympics and all those people flying on all those airplanes to get to those places where they live inside makeshift dormitories. We've all been to Olympic villages. They're not set up to separate you from people, all right? You know, every doorknob, every tray of food, you know, all the things that people have to touch in the cafeterias and get on the buses and all that. There's a million times a million ways for germs to spread with that many people all gathered together. And if by, what are they scheduled for, late July, right? Late July,
yeah,
we're now in early March.
24th. Yeah.
This thing is going to be a much different stage in late July. Now, hopefully, it maybe will have crested in some way, or maybe the warmer weather or any of that stuff might see it peak. But if it continues on this, it would not surprise me in the slightest that they move the Olympics back or cancel the Olympics altogether. I'm also interested in what you guys think will happen here in the United States, because look, the population, we're more mobile than China. All right, one of the reasons that they're talking about China actually having maybe crested this thing, if you believe the reports out of China, is because China is a country that can come in and say, okay, you're not going anywhere. None of you are going anywhere. We're shutting down this city. Nobody's moving. And they can do that. We can't do that here. So it is now here. It's in multiple states. We're not going to restrict people from moving around. We have something that's called freedom. And the way that people move around here and the way that we interact with one another and the fact that we don't have hand washing and sanitary, hand sanitizer as a regular routine, and we're now all of a sudden racing out to get it, suggests that it's going to spread very widely here. And I'm not an alarmist. I know all the facts about this. I've studied it, and it's not going to kill us all. But it is going to be something that is going to have to be taken into account for large gatherings. So how do we handle it in the world of sports in America?
Great question, because the first big thing that's coming up in our is within a month, of course, is the NCAA tournament. And already the Chicago State has canceled the games that were supposed to go out to the west to Seattle. Seattle's a ground zero for in America right now, that area, the Pacific Northwest.
It's a hotbed anyhow.
Yeah. So, the answer is how? Oh, boy, I don't know. That's why we have to rely on our very efficient government, don't we?
Okay. Here's what I think, Mitch, in answer to your question. Here's the tipping point in this, or the canary in the coal mine, is going to be this. Somebody will be diagnosed with the coronavirus who just went to a blank game. okay, who was just at Madison Square Garden or the Staples Center, or you know, pick one, right. Okay? Somebody will diagnosed, and they trace his coming or his or her comings and goings over the past week, and then they find out they attended a sporting event, and that will just scare the crap out of everybody, even more than the crap's being scared out of. To me, that might be when the narrative might change slightly in sports.
Well, 10 people in the state of Washington have died of the coronavirus, and they have around first and second round games in Spokane. That's going to be your litmus test. That's March 19th and 21st. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And, you know, it is not beyond the realm of possibility. And how odd and surreal would this be if they just didn't allow fans in? Because you can't dismantle the tournament for taking out the round. You either move it to another place, which isn't so easy. You know, I maybe you go to Boise or someplace that's relatively
that would be my
close.
Logical,
but I mean, I don't know how what's available in terms of stadiums and things like that. Or you just play games without fans, and you just hear the squeak of sneakers, and you hear the coaches yelling. And wouldn't that be surreal? I would not be shocked if that ends up happening in one of these venues, in some, particularly indoor venues, you know, because you're talking about closed places and where germs can gestate a little easier, and they don't necessarily go off into the air. And don't be surprised, they're doing it in Italy. So if you're listening to us and you're saying, "Oh, come on, you guys are talking out of your rear ends here," they're doing it in Italy. You're going to watch games from Italy where there's nobody in the stands.
You know what it's going to look like, Mitch? Mitch, you know what it'll look like? One of those Bahamas bowls in college football that is clearly, you know,
but they're selling tickets to those.
Mitch, you know what? Mitch and Bob, you know what I mean? Where they just go. They never pan back. They never pan
they never
back.
Show the stands.
They never show the stands. And it you realize that those are television events. This is different. College basketball is you know, supported by a fan base, passionate fan base, even though those early round games are not exactly the toughest ticket in any town. Okay. But you're right. You're right. This, you know, and again, we're all just speculating here. We don't know. I mean, the government doesn't know how, didn't identify how serious a threat this was until it was. Okay. And so it will be very interesting, but you know, it becomes a part of the narrative of modern sports where, you know, there became a point in the world of terrorism where you're afraid to be in large groups. And we all have thought it at various Super Bowls and Olympics. Mitch, I told you this one time. I remember being at the Summer Games in Seoul in 1988. And that was the first time during the opening ceremonies that I wrote a column about this, that we were watching the opening ceremonies and you just saw all of this security starting from the floor of the arena staring up into the stands. And it was the first time really? I'd ever noticed it to that extent.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, Raheem Mostert from the 49ers, he canceled an event that was due, I think, next week, where he was going to, you know, it was a signing, and he said,
"I don't want to shake hands."
I don't want to shake hands. I've got an 8-month-old baby, and I've got another baby on the way. He wrote, "As a husband and father, it is my job to put my family first. Thank you for all your understanding. I'll make it up to you." He will not be the last guy to do that. He will not be the last athlete to cancel events where everybody wants to shake your hand or take a picture with you. Or, you know, proximity is the value of those things. You're not going to be behind glass and signing, you know, an autograph card. Even the card itself, even if you say, okay, no handshaking and no photos, someone hands you the card and you take the card, the card could have stuff. I've been reading where they're telling people not to send in absentee ballots in the upcoming primaries and don't lick them. Use a sponge or whatever, because the people who have to open the envelopes could open it and get some of whatever germs were on your saliva. So if it's to that extent, then by all means, athletes aren't going to sit there and just take stuff from people hundreds, you know, at a time, thousands at a time in some cases, and run the risk of this. And athletes get very paranoid about their health with good reason. You know, their bodies are there. Even if they're out for a month with just essentially a flu, it could set them back depending on where they are. And they're going to be quarantined if they get it from the rest of their team. And so there goes practice, or there goes, it's not worth it to them. So you're going to see a lot more of what happened with Raheem Mostert coming up, I believe.
Gentlemen, for the record, and if in fact they chose to not go to Spokane, Boise would be the only logical geographic destination. And the fact is that the Extra Mile Arena, which is now in its third name, the Extra Mile Arena on Boise at Boise State, seats 12,380 people. And that facility has been the site of eight previous NCAA tournament rounds. So it, now I'm tickets and all that. Don't ask me. The logistics are no nightmarish. But I'm simply saying that if even just to get them out of Spokane entirely and get them away and play the game in the empty arena, that might be the place to go.
Okay, before we move on, a word from our sponsor and friend, ZipRecruiter. Hey, finding the right employees is key to the success of your business. That's a no-brainer. But finding the right candidates, now that can be challenging. There's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate, get this, within the first day. The first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. Make sure you put that in. That's ZipRecruiter.com/reporters, reporters. ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, it is only, I think we have a couple weeks left before free agency actually happens, even less. So maybe we'll finally get this question of Tom Brady and the other dominoes.
Can we hit the fast forward button?
Yeah, please.
What is Tom Brady a free agent, Mitch? Wait, is that being covered?
Every breath that Tom Brady takes now, we're trying to say, was that a free breath or was that a New England breath? Is he looking to his left? That's west. Does that mean he's going to the West Coast? So apparently he had, and I guess Tom Brady can't even have a phone conversation anymore without everybody reporting on it. He had a phone conversation with Bill Belichick. Bob, you can tell me how often phone conversations happen between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. To me, that wouldn't strike me as some great unusual fact because I know coaches call their quarterbacks all the time, but maybe it's different in New England. This one was reported on, and reportedly not a lot of progress made. It was not encouraging.
Didn't
I don't know
go
how
well.
They find that out.
Didn't
yeah,
go
didn't
well.
Go didn't go as well as we wanted. What do you make of all that?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me because I'm more and more leaning to the idea that Tom wants to go, and that you have to go back to that interview in which he was asked about do you feel respected in New England, and he said, I plead the fifth. That was 2 years ago, roughly. So let's start with that. I mean, that's something, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know. Who reported this? Who got was eavesdropping? Who wiretapped? You know, I don't know how they found out whatever was said there. But it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm just at the point where I certainly would be far more surprised if he were to stay than if he were to go.
All right, let me ask you this. Not that we are into conspiracy theories on the Sports Reporters. Bob, where the hell did the Garoppolo for Tom Brady rumor start?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe from the other end. There's been this grousing about the Garoppolo not coming up small in the fourth quarter of the big game. And after all the good things he did for them all season long, it suddenly none of that counts anymore. And as much as now John Lynch has steadfastly defended him and said, he's our guy. But somehow or other, this is leakage about, I can see from a Bill Belichick point of view, you know, if he were the type of guy that we know was out there planning stories, which we know he's the last one on earth who would do it. The fact is, we go back to he didn't want to trade Garoppolo, and he traded him hastily, and he traded him 70 cents in a dollar, roughly, to a safe landing, didn't exile him to some football Siberia. He's always had his eye on Garoppolo. But I don't know exactly who where it comes from. But from a 49ers point of view, I mean, God, I mean, to think that they would be getting a big upgrade with who Tom Brady is at this stage of his career, I find that a very strange football judgment.
Well, I think the only reason that even surfaced list, and I don't give it a lot of credence, is exactly how you laid it out. The one thing that Garoppolo did not do, he came up short in the fourth quarter, is the one thing that Tom Brady has never done, come up short in the fourth quarter of a big game. And so you put those pieces together. That's all that we're missing. If we just had a quarterback who could have come up big in the fourth quarter, then we would have won that Super Bowl. And they're retrofitting. You know, they're trying to place Tom Brady back in last season. And then there's that natural connection to them because of their history. I don't put any credence in that at all. Don't see it happening. Certainly don't see the 49ers doing it because you're selling your future. But you said something that I think is important to remember. And I always try to look at human dynamics in these kinds of things and not necessarily what team has what. So he's been there for 20 years. He keeps talking about this has been an amazing 20 years, blah, blah, blah. And as you say, maybe he doesn't feel respected. Do you think that by putting himself out onto the market, by making himself a free agent, by listening to other offers, and then perhaps New England comes back, both Belichick and his owner,
yeah,
and basically, you know, give him everything that he wants, that ultimately, okay, I got what I want. I got the respect. You know, I just wanted, you know, it was a wake-up call. It was, in the middle of a marriage where one party starts to become attractive to somebody else and the other party goes, oh, wow, I didn't realize how lucky I was and that kind of. But that in his heart, he doesn't want to actually leave New England and start all over at age 43 or whatever he is, but he wants to be appreciated. And so you put yourself on the market and you see what else you get. But the long play in this is just to ultimately come back to New England with a renewed sense of appreciation.
I'm not feeling that, Mitch. I'm not feeling that at all. I feel a
foot out the door. I do.
And from the other end of it, you know, we wondered, let's go back 10 years ago. Let's go back. At the point in time when Bill Belichick started shedding the team from, eliminating guys who still had something left, Lawyer Malloy was probably our first example of this. And then we've seen Richard Seymour, we've seen Vrabel, rid of the old Branch Rickey a year too soon rather than a year too late, blah, blah, blah. And we wondered, okay, when the time comes, will there be one exception made in the mind of Bill Belichick? Will there be one example in which sentiment and appreciation and gratitude will overrule the what's best for the team, quote unquote, mantra that he's lived on for 20 years? And now we're here. And if Bill Belichick really, really, really wants him, I think he would say that.
I don't think he really, really wants him.
I don't either.
I would never. I've known Bill Belichick a long time. But I would even suggest that I can analyze what his thinking might be on this. I believe that Bill Belichick, who is on the back nine himself as a coach, okay, is wants to turn the page, and that he is a little bit tired of this drama. Now, who knows what is going on behind the scenes with him and Robert Kraft? But Belichick's always thinking a couple of moves ahead. Let me pose it this, because it applies to Mitch's city too. Okay, say the Lions do take Tua, Mitch. Okay, which you have to say is at least something that might be in play. Is that correct?
Yeah, in play, possibly.
Okay. At which point, if they take Tua, what happens to Matthew Stafford? Do you think that Bill Belichick is looking for dominoes to fall in this sport where he thinks he can get a quarterback that gives him a chance to win next year?
Well, you don't even have to go that far, Mike. I mean, that's a lot of things would have to happen, because Tua's probably not ready to play in the NFL this year, which leaves the Lions without a quarterback if they trade him.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, that's what everybody keeps saying, that, you know, his own agent says, you know, he'd be better off sitting for a year. But forget the Lions. There are four or five other quarterbacks out there that one, if Brady goes, they start shifting around, because everybody has to make room for Brady where he is. And we've talked about this, Ryan Tannehill and Philip Rivers and a bunch of other guys. So I don't disagree with you at all that Bill Belichick would have his share of options to bring in. Now, I don't know what the money thing does. I mean, I agree with your philosophy, Mike, that Belichick has always been a guy a year early versus a year late.
Yeah.
But letting a guy go in free agency is not the same as trading him. And this is not a trade. They're not going to get anything if he walks away. And in fact, I don't know, is there any dead money owed him, Bob, that's still about
no,
this if he walks away or anything?
He's
so
got
this
no
is
deferred
clean.
Money.
So they just lose. So they got his slot open, which was a significant slot. And I guess that they, I don't know if they're over the cap or whatever, but they have room to sign another quarterback. So, no, I don't think he has to worry about getting another guy in there.
But, Mitch, let me just – Mitch just threw out a name, and I hadn't thought about this, but it plays into the question that I asked Mitch, Bob, okay? Do you think – Belichick watched what Mike Vrabel did in Tennessee with a guy who was considered nothing more than a discard at that point, Ryan Tannehill, and thinks, you know what? If Vrabel can do that with Tannehill in Tennessee, I can do that with blank next year in New England.
Well, it's also, and I'd have a running back, and I'd have, you know, it's about weaponry here. The whole thing's about, not the whole thing, part of the idea. We're all sitting here thinking, what's Tom thinking about? And we're assuming that Tom is thinking about, where's my best chance for success? With the given the weapons that would be at a quarterback's disposal, and clearly there were insufficient weaponry at his disposal this year, and he'd actually have a tight end. He didn't have one last year, and you know it's all about that. And there's plenty of places where he would have better options and weaponry than he apparently would have in New England, and that's another reason why I'm assuming that he wants to leave. But that place, sure, and Vrabel, the friendship, yeah, and the respect, yeah, there's two leaders in the clubhouse for me and for many others. They're one in Indianapolis for obvious technical reasons, the weaponry thing, and the respect that coach is getting now are another. That's a very
and nice, and does nice. It and you know him situation anyhow better than I do. Is there none of the, well, I'm Tom Brady, I'm not going to a small Midwestern market thing going on the same way LeBron wasn't going to any team but Los Angeles?
I don't think so, unless I don't know what his projection for TB12, which is his afterlife, he's going to be, you know, the Tony Robbins of 2030, you know. I don't know. How that factors in. I rather doubt it. I don't know about, you know, whether Giselle would like to live in Indianapolis or in Charlotte, or whether, you know, how they're going to work that out. That God knows, you know, there's the family thing. I have no idea.
Well, I have a parting shot coming up on the Vegas possibility.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. All right, listen. But before we just turn our attention to a tradition unlike any other, we'd like to remind you that we are sponsored by Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Guys, the Tiger Woods saga, and as long as he's still on the regular tour, it's going to be like this every year. Okay. We know that there's going to be physical issues every single year. And we already know that when he is physically fit, he can compete with the young guns now. But now it's a back issue. And Mitch, I was saying this to Bob the other day. Not only do I think Tiger is focusing on the majors now, I think he's really focused on one major. He's focused on the Masters. I mean, you know, the PGA will be at Harding Park, and maybe Wingfoot will be set up as a shot maker's course where he can still excel. But I think he builds his whole year now around trying to get one more major and one more green jacket. And maybe he thinks if he goes one by one by one, he can still catch Nicklaus. But boy, oh boy, Mitch, he has played very little good golf this year.
Well, who knew that at this stage of his career, the way we'd be talking about arguably the greatest golfer ever played, certainly one of the couple, that the greatest thing that he would be able to pull off would be to be able to play well without playing. Yeah. Because that is new. His that is the ultimate skill set. That
the last guy to do
perfect.
It was Hogan, Mitch. The last guy was like 60 years ago when Ben Hogan, after the car accident, people don't really know this about him because he was still winning majors, Mitch. He'd only play like 7 or 8 tournaments a year.
Does Tiger even play that many?
No. Well, he's scheduled to this year, but I forget what the number of rounds, Mitch. I actually don't know the number of rounds he's played. But again, I said not as he's played very little good golf. He's played very little golf.
Well, that's my point. His ultimate skill at this the last act of his career will be, can I play championship golf without playing golf?
Yeah.
It won't be, you know, I changed my swing, I got a new putter, I did all this. It's, can I just win without playing golf? Because playing golf, ironically, is his enemy. The thing that does him the most harm is playing golf. Well, the more he plays, the more he gets hurt. The less he plays, the more pristine he remains. But then you worry about rust. And look, Mike, you follow these tournaments more than I do. When he won the Masters last year, how much golf had he played before that? Before that, he hadn't played a whole heck of a lot of golf going into that Masters, right?
No. But this year, it's even less. And again, I just referenced this, Bob and Mitch. People could see that, Hogan made the amazing comeback after he got broken in half in that hideous accident with a bus, okay? But he would literally, Mitch, he would win 3 majors in a year like 1953 and only play like 5 other tournaments. And that's what Tiger's trying to do. And again, you can't discount this. And even though, he looks so fit, you always have to look at how many surgeries he has had. Oh, by the way, in a non-contact sport. And on top of everything else, he is 44 years old, or wherever he is now. So there's a lot of things mitigating against him. But, you know, as we found out, Mitch and Bob, last year when he got to Augusta, when the stars are still aligned and he is feeling good, he can still win.
Well, no one's ever going to doubt that again. I mean, he can be
44, by the way. He's 44. And by the way, before Mitch sends us to parting shots, I will say that I think Spike Lee, I know you guys were worried about this. I think Spike Lee's tickets, they don't cost $4,000 a piece. They cost like $2,000 a piece, which means he spends about $150,000 to get turned away at the door.
Oh, man, that's a lot of money. All right, before we get to parting shots, one more word from our friends at Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today. All right, time for our parting shots. Bob Ryan, lead us off.
Now, parting shots.
You know, we all know that injury is inherent in all our sports. Yes, including golf. Ask Tiger. We're just talking about it. But one of our favorite sports has an injury possibility unlike any other. And this week, we had one that was totally frightening, at least to me. Islanders defenseman Johnny Boychuk and Canadiens wing Arturi Lekkonen were jostling in front of the net when Lekkonen went down face forward. As he tumbled, his left leg, that is to say, the skate on his left leg, made contact with Boychuk's face. It required the services of a plastic surgeon who needed 90, that's 90 stitches to fix the wound. The very good news is that Boychuk suffered no eye damage. It was a reminder that while we generally only think of hockey sticks as potentially lethal weapons in this game, those well-sharpened blades underneath those skate boots are quite potentially lethal as well. Johnny Boychuk was very lucky.
All right, maybe someday Patrick Mahomes will be the biggest star in American sports, or maybe even Mike Trout, the best baseball player of his time and one of the best of all time, will finally not just make it back to the postseason in baseball, but all the way to the World Series. But for now, the biggest star in American sports remains LeBron James, the player whom Giannis called an inspiration to be playing the way he's playing at the age of 35, which means pretty much the way he's always played in the NBA, having arrived as a teenager who'd been famous from the time he was 14. The lineage then is still the same. It was Michael, and then it was Tiger. Now it's LeBron, and has been LeBron for a long time. His age changes. Nothing else does. He's still the best player. He's still the best teammate. And he's now chasing a title in a third city. Sometimes you have to take a step back, like one of his step back shots, and appreciate what we are seeing and for how long we've been seeing this kind of amazing all-around talent. He really has been famous for two decades. He has made all those finals. 3 months after that 35th birthday, it's still good being king. And just as a sports fan, long live the king.
I had a friend when I was younger in college. He was pretty straight-laced, wore button-down shirts, short haircut, got a conservative job. We lost touch for a while, and a few decades later, I saw him in his late 40s. Same job, but he had a leather jacket, a ponytail, and an earring. That's kind of the image I had when I heard Dana White of the UFC implore Tom Brady in a broadcast conversation to come to the Raiders and Las Vegas. Tom Brady in Las Vegas, in his mid-40s, after all those years as the say-everything-right, handle-everything-right New England guy, it just strikes me as looking like, well, a midlife crisis. Brady in L.A.? Yeah, we've seen LeBron make that move. Brady even in Tennessee with old pal Mike Vrabel, maybe. But Tom Brady wearing black and driving a sports car past signs that say highest-paying slots in Vegas, nah, just feels a little creepy. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday. You can catch it wherever you catch popular podcasts, on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, all the rest. If you like what you heard, you can leave us a comment. If you didn't, please leave us a comment. Leave us a rating as well. We always appreciate that. And we'll be back after the weekend. Lots to talk about there for sure on Monday. Until then, on behalf of Bob Ryan and Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom wishing you a great weekend.